I was urged to continue a little further where we were last Rosh Chodesh, and that was to show the defense and the admiration that the Rav Kook had for the Rambam. It was a long shiur last time. This will be a short one, but there is a very cogent point that I would like to bring to your attention and quickly. Once we establish what Rav Kook is saying in defense of the Rambam, let's quickly try to understand how to internalize these words, thoughts, ideas, and lofty, holy expressions into our daily life and into our present experience in life. So let's start at line 80 or 81. Remember that the Rambam was criticized, ostracized, his books were burned because of the way he wrote of Greek philosophy. His goal was to create a synthesis and a bridge between Torah and Lahavdil, Greek philosophy, so that one does not have to choose A over B. Now, synthesis in our days is a dirty word. Synthesis is the sisma, is the banner that one institution thrives on. That is Yeshiva University. So if you say synthesis, it is a synonym for Yeshiva University. And if you say Yeshiva University, at least in many quarters today, obviously, you're treif. But nonetheless, synthesis is not something that was originated by the Public Relations Department of Yeshiva University. Synthesis was something that the Rambam wanted to show in his Mora Nevuchim, for which he was so ostracized. And careful, though. He wanted to indicate that in synthesis, you know exactly how to distill from the other system, the MS from the Sheker, and therefore you are left only with MS, and as long as it's MS, it can sit side by side with Torah. Because Torah is MS. You can ask a question. If Torah is MS, then probably nothing else is MS. How can you distill MS if there is some Sheker from it also? So we'll see. You were saying.
I was going to say, does the other system also help you distill in Torah what the MS is from the Sheker?
Let Rav Kook answer it for you, okay? It'll be on the last page. And then, if you feel you're not satisfied, press me again. Okay?
One further observation. A Rabbi Meir taking the MS from an Acher. Is there an analogy there?
Yes, because he took MS when Acher was someone Acher, was someone other. He was a Tana.
So there's a precedent?
No, but when Rab Meir learned by Rab Elisha ben Avuya, he was a Tana, he was a Kodosh Elio.
Uh-huh.
You see.
And the Rambam was less so in stature, even though not in title?
A what? An Acher?
No.
A what?
Incomparable to Rabbi Meir. I mean, he wasn't a Tana, but in relative to his day and period, didn't he have the same stature? And
yes, but just because he learned Greek philosophy, appreciated Greek philosophy, so put him in the class of Rav Yehuda HaNasi. What are you putting him in the class of Rav Elisha ben Avuya for?
No, I'm putting him in the class of Rav Meir.
Distilling from... Without question, the tragedy of the Rambam is that he lived 1,000 years too late. That was his tragedy. 1,000 years too late. Let's go. 81. Yeah, Mike.
Wasn't Rabbi Meir the one who could prove that something that wasn't Torah was Torah and vice versa, and people were afraid of his arguments, his Torah arguments that he could derive from Torah things were obviously not true?
That was his system of logic. That was his program that was absolutely devastating. Because ultimately, logic could, you know, could become sophistry. You just, you can take anything and build in logical fallacies, and you don't catch it, and that's it. 81. Remember that the Rambam, as we spoke last time, is responding to Reb Zev Yavetz, a Talmud Chacham, a Yirei Shamayim, and a historian. We, says Rav Kook, says there's no way that I can agree to what Harav HaMechaber Zichrono Livrocha Zev Yavetz wrote, B'meshek Kasavi Pliaso, how he wrote with such wonder. And here is what Yavetz wrote: V'ad Olam Yipaleal Rabbeinu. He says, forever it is an absolute astonishment al Rabbeinu, on the Rambam HaMamikazeh, who was so critical and so deep a thinker, ki ra'a rakes ha'dimyona rafa v'hachiver me'od, that he saw something so shallowly, asher tidameh chokhmas yavan, that you are capable of comparing the Greek philosophy El Torah Yisrael to the Torah and make such comparisons. Lamaris Ayin Keher. It's just only when you go ahead and have sight that is Keher, that is so dim, that you can do such a thing. V'yas hachutim hadakim hayodim v'nokvim ad hatehom. And he did not discern the very fine threads that are so deep running ad hatehom, to the very center, to the very core, Hamavdilim v'hamafridim, that divide and separate bein shnehem, and that divide and separate these two thought systems, v'osim osam, line 85, and as a result it makes them kima'at shnei hafachim gemurim. It makes Greek philosophy and Torah two mutually exclusive ways of thinking. Now here the Rambam is known for his critical analysis. He's known for his depth of thought. And when it came to these things, the criticism of Zev Yavetz was that he was so surface. He was so, you know, he was so almost flippant in his desire to see these two thought systems side by side. And in the middle of 85, Lo shizafa eino hachadav hatahora, he did not bring his intellectual stamina and critique, which was so pure, to this subject, ad ki ledaato, so that the Rambam arrived at an opinion that ein lahavdil meuma, there is almost no difference, bein deos torasenu, in the premises of our Torah, v'deos chachmei yavan v'arav, and the premises of Greek philosophy, va'arav, and Arabic philosophy in certain extent. Haplia Azos, says the Rav Kook, that this question, this puzzlement that you have, Zev Yavetz is be'emes musevesi al Rav HaMechaberzal. If anyone has got to be pushed to the wall as to why you couldn't see and discern so clearly as to what the Rambam is doing, and why you so flippantly say that he takes and he makes a synthesis, a total welding of these two elements and melding them into one, then my God, you write a whole volume of 13 about the Rambam. How you could be so undiscerning to arrive at such a conclusion, I have to throw it back like a boomerang right at you. The very thing that you accuse the Rambam of, I'm sorry, he says, Zev Yavetz, with all due respect, I have to ask of you, how did you arrive at such a thing? And v'lo al Rabbeinu Agodol HaRambam Zatzal, the question is not on the Rambam, the question is on you. For indeed, and here's where Rav Kook comes to defend the Rambam, HaRambam Zichrono Livracha Hivdil Havdalat HaHomis, and you look at the Rambam and you see Greek philosophy and know it on the one hand, and Rambam and the Havdol Torah on the other hand, you see that Hivdil Havdalat HaHomis, he has an abysmally deep depth of distinction. She'ein Lamala Himena, there's no way of distinguishing anymore. There's no way of building a deeper mechitza between these two systems than the Rambam does. Be'etzem Hamahus Shel Torah Klapei Chachmas Yavon, when he, the Rambam, speaks about the essence of Torah, as compared to Chachmas Yavon. And this is a division that is equivalent of Havdalah ben Kodesh Lechol, Acharei Asher Kavahu, because he went ahead, once he set down three principles, the Rambam, you see that Greek philosophy and Torah are irreconcilable, with but one exception. That when the Rambam sets down Shlosha Yisodot Ikariim, three basic premises, animamins, Sheshumayim b'sefer hamore lo yochal lazuz mehem, that if you ever studied Mora Nevuchim, it is impossible to miss these three. And the three principles are the Haim, number one, Ho'echad, Shehanevuah hi lemala mikol musag shel sechel ha'enoshi kulo. That Nevuah, as an intellectual process, is above any kind of logical cognition that we have, anything that human beings have. There is a step higher in knowledge, and that is the mentality of Nevuah, number one. Uma shelo yusag klal b'sechel ha'enoshi, and if you cannot arrive at something with human intellect, harehu noda b'beirua yedei ha'nevuah, then you know where you go to look? To a higher authority? You know what the higher authority is? Nevuah. Shehi devar Hashem, because it's God's word. That was principle number one. The principle of Nevuah. Then principle number two, Hasheni hu yisod chidush ha'olam, is the one of the Ikarim, one of the animamins, that this world was created. And it was a chidush. At one time or another, it didn't exist. That's Bria Yesh Me'ayin. Okay? Shebazeh Ikar Akar. Akar. There, he uprooted as Kol HaMabat Ha'elili HaYivani. Because the Greeks believed in the eternity of matter. And it just had to be formed and fashioned, but matter always existed. And this is paganism. Mabat is a perspective. Elili, pagan, from Elil. Okay? And what's more, Al Kol HaHavaya Kula, and this affected all of existence. One's total existence is affected by this premise. And the Rambam went ahead and showed that this is impossible, Veheshivlanu, and thereby to his generation and to generations after, returned us, Eser Chos HaKodesh, unto the ways of the holiness, Shel Torah, Shehu HaTochen Shel HaMabat HaYahaduti HaMakori Al Kol HaHavaya, which is the essence of the Jewish perspective, the original Jewish perspective, on one's entire existence, on all existence. That what? That God created the world, and ipso facto, Lashem ha'aretz u'malo'ah, tevel v'yoshvei ba. Everything belongs to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and He created it at His will. V'hu, and this perspective, ha'hepuch ha'gamur, is the exact opposite, me'hamabat ha'yevani, from the Greek perspective, he'achuz be'kadmut ha'olam, which is caught up in the eternity of matter. And in the eternity of matter, if matter is eternal, then there can be no sanctity to it. And we hold quite differently. That everything in this world is kadosh because it was invested and infused by the Bria that HaKadosh Baruch Hu did in Bereishis Bara Elokim. Okay? And the third principle on line 104 that the Rambam sets down, which divides forever Torah from Greek philosophy, line 104, V'hayesod HaShlishi U'yesod HaShkacha HaPratit. And that is God's divine supervision, the min ha'adam, when it comes to the human race, the humankind, the chol pratav, in all of its details, the chol ma'asav, in everything that it does, shehu ha'hefech ha'gamur, that this is the absolute opposite, mikol tzivyon ha'hakara shel chochmat yavan, from the entire scholarship, the Weltanschauung, tzivyon ha'chochma, the best thing is the Weltanschauung, of Greek philosophy. Asher Amra, which said and taught, Kima'amar ha'poshe'im ba'olam, as those who reject God say, quote, Azav Hashem et ha'aretz. He may have created it, but has absolutely nothing to do with the day-to-day operations. There is no divine providence at this point. Kol zehu hevdel nora, all of these are massive differences. V'ha'esechiyot ha'gemura, המתבלטת על ידי שלושת היסודים הללו, I'm sorry, וההופכיות, and from the word hefech, and this is the exact opposite of, and the exact opposite of these three principles, Shekav'am Rabbeinu Agadol B'chachmato V'Kedushato Agadola, that the Rambam established with his scholarship and with his Kedusha, Lihiyot Chayitz Netzach, to be a division forever, Bein HaKodesh U'Bein HaChol, between holy and mundane, Bein Chochmat Yevanit HaEnoshit, between Greek philosophy that was the product of mankind, U'Bein Chochmat Yisrael Elokit, and between Torah philosophy, which is divine. Now, the fact of the matter is that the Rambam does say over and again, intimates over and again, that there are divine qualities in what is said by certain Greek philosophers. He held that Aristotle, for instance, was one step lower in so to speak, Kedusha than a Novi. Okay? So how do you get away with that? Novi is higher. But tell me, if you want to create a mechitza between Greek philosophy on the one hand and Torah lahavdil on the other, aside from building a wall, you must maintain the division, the mechitza. You must not let anyone tear down the mechitza. How do you tear down a mechitza? You crawl up to the top and you hold on to it and you want to look over. So you know what you tell someone who's crawling over a mechitza looking over? Feh! What's on the other side is treif. It's no good. Don't look. You'll get blind from it. Rambam didn't do that. He said, you want to look over the other side? You see that fellow over there, Aristotle? Smart fella. He says, okay. A lot of things he says, that's nice. There's some that are schmutz. That's why you have the mechitza here between you and Aristotle, between you and the rest of the world. He didn't do that.
That's what the Gemara were learning. Rabbi Akiva Omer.
Sure.
Amen. On the Sefarim HaChitzanim.
Sure. Now there you are. The Mishnah, in the period of the great split between Jews and Judeo-Christians, so to speak, Rabbi Akiva had to take a stand, as other Tanoim in his day. Kol Yisrael yesh lahem chelek l'olam haba. Ve'elu she'en lahem chelek l'olam haba. There's some who don't. There's a whole list over there. Say Torah is not min haShemayim, and you're an apikores, and other things. Rabbi Akiva Omer af hakorei b'svarim chitzonim. If you will go ahead and try to look for understanding and scholarship and Weltanschauung and Hashkofa into those books which are now external to the Chof Dalet Sifrei Kedusha, the external books, then ein lecha chelek l'olam haba. You're not. You have absolutely no way that you are going to stay within the realm of the Kedushas Yisrael, which by implication means that schmutz. This is kadosh and that schmutz. And this is a natural way. If I have to maintain my integrity, my distinctiveness, okay? By definition, I have to say that the other one is schmutz. And the Rambam doesn't do that.
But the Rambam wasn't the first one to start this. Aren't there statements in the Gemara that Yavan, or maybe particular Greeks, represent the beauty of what, Yopet, or...
You're okay, Mike. You're okay. Shua, you're okay. You've distilled, essentially, you've anticipated on the nose, on the head, exactly what Rav Kook's issue is. Let's get to it quickly, and then I want to play with the idea. If you would please be so kind as to turn to the last page, starting with line 260. And if you will take this and read from where we skipped until now, you'll see that Rav Kook says nothing more than the same thing over and again in different ways. Rav Kook essentially sets up the famous philosophical paradigm model of form and substance. That's all it is. Anyone who looks at the Rambam correctly, who understands what the Rambam is doing nothing more than giving you the substance, the meat of Torah, served in a form palatable so that you don't have to choose one for the other. And he says, what's more, don't call that sugar coating. Because as we learned in our last shiur, the Rambam says it over again. If I need mathematical calculations to go ahead and figure out the first mitzvah that was given in Parshas Bo, HaChodesh Hazeh Lachem, and I don't have a mesorah of those mathematical calculations, but I do have the same truth, the absolute truth, from Chachmei Yovan, then don't worry about it. You can use that truth, that abstract and absolute truth, in the service of Torah, and there's no problem whatsoever. That's nothing more, that's not substance. We're not talking about the essence of truth. We are talking about the form, the format of arriving at truth. Can I arrive at truth only if it is in a yeshiva? Or are there precincts of truth elsewhere, in other intellectual laboratories? The answer is that this is the position of the Rambam, at least Rav Kook says that this is the position of the Rambam, that he wanted to distill absolute truth from the laboratories of the philosophers of Greece and Arabic philosophies. And once that is distilled, then it can serve side by side with absolute truth. In other words, the Dea Elokis, the Chochma Elokis of Torah. But the way Rav Kook says it, there is one zinger in there that should light up your life. One line over there that should light up your life and spark a conversation with some other things. 261. And as far as you, Rav Zev Yavitz, doubting or turning up your nose, al ma shehichnis Rabbeinu, that the Rambam used such words as Hashemos Goshem HaChamshi, I'll explain in a minute, and next Koach Hiyuli, I'll explain in a minute, and Schalim Nivdalim, I'll explain in a minute, Deot Nifradot, I'll explain in a moment, whatever I'll explain about these terms, okay, all of these terms were criticized by the Yavetz as panim chadashot b'gavul Yisrael. These are new things, panim chadashot, a new manifestation within the territory of Israel. Now, ein lazeh shum tam has absolutely no flavor whatsoever of criticism. There is no critical discernment over here. What were these terms? Now, if you want to find out what these terms are, you have one of two ways. Get yourself a Mora Nevuchim, and if you want another series, once a week for about 5 years, Amor Nevuchim, you know where you can ask. These are the classical terms that are used to try to understand Greek philosophy, and these are some of the things here are basic to Mora Nevuchim. For instance, take the second one, Koach Hiyuli. You don't need Mora Nevuchim for it. If you learn Ramban on Bereishis, you have to know it. Okay? Koach Hiyuli is a Greek concept that exists in Greek philosophy, that in creation there was primordial matter out of which everything evolved. To those who are not sophisticated in philosophy, I usually give the simplistic mashal. Did you ever bake a challah? Okay? So you take flour, and you take eggs, and you take water, and you take yeast, and you throw it all in. And you look at the gook that's there in front of you in the pot, and you say to yourself, how in blazes is this ever going to be what it is? Ella, what you just did was the Koach Hiyuli. And then when you have to take your hands over there and start to knead, and it gets so uchi and gooky with the eggs squishing between your fingers and the yeast over there, and you say to yourself, how is this ever going to come out? Now you understand what Koach Hiyuli is. That such gook can be turned into such a beautiful challah that graces your table. And that's the way creation was. It was with Chomer, it was a certain substance, and the substance that was created had in it the power to be able to go and evolve higher and higher and become differentiated into higher classes and forms of life until we had the whole world in its present state. The Ramban speaks of it. I admit, says everyone, that this is the way Greek philosophy spoke also. Or you speak about sichalim nivdalim, separated intelligences. You know what separated intelligences are? You know what we call it? Malachim.
You mean disembodied soul?
Disembodied intelligences, not souls. Seichel. Okay. Now, you want to see a seichel nivdal? They call him, in his English name is Gravity, but when they call him to the Torah, they call him Gavriel, I suppose. Okay? Mustam, it's close to it. You understand? The way that Greek philosophy in its natural science, in its physical science, will explain how this fell, if they had a concept of gravity, then this would be the Schalim Nivdalim. All of the forces that go ahead and rule the world. So we have, in our tradition, Malachim. We give them names and we personify them. We give some wings and we give some colors, you know, and sizes and so on and so forth. Deos Nifrados. The existence also, the existence of a separated intelligence, you know, separated from a brain, artificial intelligence. This is also a Greek concept, as opposed to acquired. And these are ponim chadoshos b'gevul Yisrael. This is new stuff. No one ever spoke this way, or almost no one ever spoke this way, and this forcefully, to be able to explain. Is Ein Zeh Shum Tam, he says, if you're going to criticize the Rambam on this, you have absolute, I mean, it's tasteless, it's listless, it's lifeless. Why? Here's your reason. Ki kol eila hadvarim, all of these terminologies in Greek philosophy, are nothing more, hinam rak hasbarot sichliot. These are intelligent explanations. Ad kama sheyad adam magat lerazei haolam, as far as we can go and understand the secrets of this world, ve'ein shum nafkemina, there is no difference bechol lashon sheyomru hadvarim, whether you call it koach yuli or you call it breishis bar elokim. These are nothing more than things to describe what went on, and the secrets of life in trying to unearth what went on with creation and how creation is sustained. And here's where Rav Kook, Mike, here's where Rav Kook waxes eloquent. Velo Eda, he says, I don't feel the frustration here, but there is a sharp edge. Velo Eda, I cannot understand. Eze makom yesh lekana'us yisei razo. How we can condone kana'ut yiteira. What am I saying? Kana'ut, not from kina, but what? But extremism, kanoi, such incredible extremism. V'chi chol darkei haseichel ha'anashi heima hadvarim ha'asurim liYisrael. For any kind of intelligent human endeavor is usur to us. So the Greek philosophers spoke that way. And they wanted to understand Rozei Ha'olam, the secrets of creation. Does that make it automatically usur to us? V'aye efo, and if that be the case, where therefore is Yefeifiyuto shel Yefet sheba'ohalei shein? Now, you have to, if you haven't met this, Yefeifiyuto shel Yefet ba'ohalei shein, you must know that this is a big statement, a broad statement in Chazal as far as Hashkofa. The world was destroyed Noach's time. He had three children, Shem, Chom, and Yefes. Each one with cultural distinctiveness. Shem, Semites, gave the message of Elokus, godliness to the world, through Avram. Yefes comes from the word Yafeh, gave aesthetics, beauty to the world. Now what is beauty? It's not only in its lustful kind of situation, but Greek beauty was a kind of precision. Architecture was beautiful because you have been able to take the science of architecture and project it with its artful beautiness, beautifulness, and be able to build the seven wonders of the world. And Greek philosophy in Chazal falls under the realm of Yefes. However, in the brachas that were given, okay, Yafta Lukim Li Yefes, the Yishkon Ba'ohal Eishen, that Yefes with his beauty will reside in the tents, in the ohel, of whom? Of Shein, when his beauty is true. This synthesis of the scholarship of Yefes and the MS of Shein is Va'aye Yefefi Yusoshal Yefes. Where is the beauty of Yefes? Shebi Ohole Shein, that has to be where? Appreciated in the precincts, in the Ohel. And when we speak about Ohel, Matovu Ohalecha, this is the Beis Medrash. Where is Shein recognizing the beauty of the world? Well, I'll tell you in a minute. Va'aye Hashitufa Kilali. And where is this? And this is Rav Kook at his best. This generalized partnership, mitzad tzelem Elokim haKelali shenatan haKadosh Baruch Hu baAdam. On the one hand, the first partner is the tzelem Elokim that was given to all humanity. Shemitoch kach, that based on this tzelem Elokim, because you and I have a tzelem Elokim, anu mechabdim et kol chacham. That's when we can give honor and appreciate every scholar, the yashar lev, he who is straight in heart and mind, shebechol ha'adam, no matter who he is, as long as he is a man. This is Rav Kook. Ve'onu mekablim et ha'emet, and we accept truth, mikol mi she'amaro, from anyone who said it. Ve'homer dvar chochma besafruteinu ha'ne'emana, and someone who says something which is of wisdom and scholarship in our faithful literature, afilu bi umot ha'olam nikra chacham. By virtue of this scholarship, they call us chacham. Where is the reciprocity of the partnership when it's emes? V'tzar lanu me'od, and how difficult it is for us, shelama nichnesu dvarim ka'elu, why did this thinking, did this criticism of Yavetz degenerate to such a form, shel kitrug al ha-sefer, of such low criticism on the sefer, which in fact is malei ora u'kedusha, full of light and holiness, kesefer ha-moreh, as the sefer Moreh Nevuchim is, ha-kolel, which includes kol kacha be'otzrot shel chokhmah u'musa, so much wisdom, so much Musar, v'da'at Hashem, is be'emet, lamrot ma'ashi yeshnam musagim acherim leba'alei shitot acher. Despite the fact that he quotes all of the other kinds of what? Of shitos, of wisdom, in philosophy. He quotes them. But he distills from these quotes that which is emes and that which is sheker. Now, I am not sure, but I'm putting a parenthesis here with a big question mark. I'm not sure in this last line, Lamrot Mashi Yeshnam Musagim Acherim Lebalei Shitot Acherot. I'm not entirely sure of what he is saying.
What's Lamrot?
Despite the fact, Sheyeshnam, that there exist in Moreh Nevuchim, Musagim Acherim, that there are other concepts, Lebalei Shitot Acherot. For others, you know, from Greek philosophy, I can read that in two ways. All right. The most probable way is big deal. So he speaks Torah, and let's leave it at that. He speaks Torah, and Chochmah, and Musar Hashem. So what if he says it the same mouth or in the same book? Greek philosophy. One is substance, and the other is what? Is form.
He's quoting in this earlier statement, "V'anu mekablim et ha'emet mikol mi she'omro."
No.
He's taking that from the Rambam straight almost. You showed it to me.
What do you mean I showed it to you? It was part of the end of this year with the mathematical formulas in Kiddush HaChodesh.
Yeah.
No, so. Okay. So, but he's trying to defend him in saying, look, we know that for Torah to exist, what do I have to do? I have to say that everything else is shmutz. Okay? But that's not what the Rambam is doing here. This partnership that of the Tzelem Elokim necessitates us that if you're an Irishman and I'm a Jew, but if you as an Irishman are from Tzadiki Umos Olam and speak the truth, I have to acknowledge the fact. Why do I have to acknowledge the fact? Because I have a Tzelem Elokim and you have a Tzelem Elokim. And you know something? It's both the same Tzelem Elokim. Okay? Now he wrote a Mora Nevuchim. And he tells about Aristotle and tells other things in Greek philosophy using all of these terminologies. Okay? Where is it that you couldn't discern the abbots and you had such a brilliant mind to be able to discern the historical perspective? Where is it that you fail not to be able to see that this is an issue of form and substance? That in Frumkeit you have nothing more in the Mora Nevuchim than Chochma and Musar and Das Hashem. Even if you don't understand exactly what that is, Jerry, it's a pretty good bet that it's kosher enough. Okay? Chochma, Musar, and Das Hashem. It's good enough. A big deal if the wrapper was something that didn't have Hebrew letters on it.
What kind of man was Yavetz? Do you know of him?
Frum. An Ish Emes.
He lived in Yerushalayim or he's an Israeli?
He came to Yerushalayim. He was an European. He's European.
He lived in
Israel. Europe. He was
after
Europe.
The war? Or
when?
He lived in Europe before the war? Or
he lived in Europe in the late 1800s.
On the late what?
The 1800s and then 1900s he came to. He was born in the late 1800s.
In the early 1900s?
In the early 1900s. Okay? Form and substance.
And
that's the issue.
The history of Israel,
yeah?
Is it just political? Is it social? Is it like Salah Baron or
it's like Salah Baron but much firmer. Okay? Go ahead.
No, so could he be saying here, you know, that there's Musa Vidas Das Hashem, but there's also like a lot of Musagim which are using Schmutz? I mean, he says Lamod Mashi Yeshnam the Musagim Afarin, the Balashi Tod Afarin.
That's the other way you can learn it. Okay? That's the other way you can learn it. However, it's no good. Okay? Because if the Rambam, if Rav Kook is setting up this issue of form and substance, and remember, if the form is schmutz, it does damage to the substance. The wrapping, the outer coating, the form, may be a little foreign to what you are used to, but the substance is there. I'll give you some simple examples. Anyone ever daven in a Yemenite shul? One, two. How many others? We, sitting at this table, were to walk into a Yemenite shul, you would swear that you are in a mosque. You never heard Adon Olam sung that way at all. The Seder Atfilos don't begin to hit you until and unless you know what is going on there. Occasionally you will understand it. And even when they say Ashrei out loud, you will wonder what's going on here. Did you ever hear Kriyas HaTorah? No. I did. I can reduce it to musical notation. And because I speak the language or appreciate the language of musical notation, I can then go ahead and find out what goes on L'Havdil Elef Alfei Havdalos on Har HaBayis, where you have the two mosques. Right? The Dome of the Rock and Al-Aqsa, how they read their Torah, the Quran. And if I put these two musical notations side by side, you'll see it exactly.
The same?
Exact!
You mean the incantation that they use in Kriyas HaTorah in the Yemenite show?
L'Havdil, with the musical line, the musical pattern that you can find in mosques today, are identical in patterns. Yes, there are some variations. Without question, there are variations. But when you have variations on a theme in music, that's wonderful. But when you can pick out the identical things, you know you're in this. That's the way our Kriyas HaTorah is. Question. Person who goes to a Yemenite shul, who is an Ashkenazi, and has been used to Vayidaber Hashem Moshe Lemo Daber B'nei Yisrael Yikhu Elecha, Is he Yotze with the other lady?
It's a big question, isn't it?
What?
It's a big question.
Sure, it's a big question. I'm not giving you the answer now. But analyze the question. Is the substance of Kriyas HaTorah there? Yes. What's the difference, though?
Form.
So the Shaila boils down to, when form is different, are you Yotze or not? Give me one before Yemenite, as a transition. Okay? Where in our day, post-Holocaust and post-State of Israel, did this Shaila come up with somewhat a different twist?
You can do it here in the Americans. Yeah, in Brooklyn, if you go to Assyria.
Litvakis, wait, even better.
Oh, yeah.
Litvakis and Galiciana.
You mean Galiciana reading the Torah with his E's and I's and U's?
Dabar el benai Yisruai v'yikhi eilecho puro adimo temimo asher ein bum. Mim. The Shaila was asked if a Litva can daven by a Galiciana. I got a better one for you. What about a Yeki?
That's a different melody, right?
Huh? Different melody? No. What about Boruch Ato Adau Shem Elaukenu Melech Ha'olom Hamautzi lechem min ha'oretz. What about a yeke? The same thing. And again, the question is only form and substance. Yemenite, don't hold me to it. If I had the music in front of me, I would stand any test. My dame, Hashem. El Moshe Lemor. It's based on a 12-note scale, what we call chromatic, and it almost doesn't vary at all from this middle. Occasionally a poser you will hear. You have a little life. Oh, he's saying a poser. You know, poser. One word out of 10,000, it sounds. Okay? If you want to hear it recorded, Yetz Hashem, I'll show you a recording. It's definitely recorded there. And I have, with notation, I'll give it to you anything you want with notation in front of me. I haven't been tested like that since I studied in music institute at Yeshiva University. That's it. Form and substance. Rich little, huh? I want to give you another form and substance.
Want to turn them on?
Yeah. Let's turn them on.